This conference is being recorded.
I have Michelle McPherson on the line from 30MinuteBacklinks.com, and in this interview we're going to talk a little bit about search engine optimization and how you can get started completely from scratch and use some of Michelle's tips and suggestions to help get your site indexed by engines like Google, Yahoo, MSN, which will give you some free organic traffic and help you get noticed. So Michelle, I'm glad to have you on the line. Thanks for taking a few minutes to chat today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Can you just kind of dive right in and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this whole search engine optimization thing?
I was doing admin assistant work, virtual assistant stuff way back in the day for a Southern California construction company, and they were having their website redone. And their webmaster said, what do you want your keywords to be, your meta keywords? So they asked me to figure that out. And I didn't know what they were, and so I looked it up and just totally got sucked into, like, SEO and internet marketing and, you know, the potential of having your site number one in Google and the kind of money that that could bring in if you're selling something on the site and that sort of thing. And, that was back in the big AdSense heyday, so from there I started, you know, doing, like, mass building of AdSense sites and all that kind of stuff and just progressed from there. So that's how I got started.
Sounds like you got in at the right time, right on the ground floor.
Yeah, it was very good timing, actually.
So when you're first getting started and you want to start kind of like, I guess we could call it an SEO campaign to get your site friendly with the search engines, what are a few of the first things that one would do to get the ball rolling?
Well, you know, the first thing that you need before you can do really any kind of SEO is you need to know what keywords you're optimizing for, what keywords you want to rank well for in the search engines. So, you know, if we're talking about, say, the dog training niche, you know, and you've got a book on training your Doberman dog, those kind of keywords are the keywords that you want to rank for, say, Doberman dog training or how to train your Doberman or things like that. And then when people enter those into the search engine, hopefully they see your site first. So without having a good keyword that you know gets searches and that you know, that that's what you want to optimize for, you really can't do any of the other SEO activities, like doing your on-page optimization and doing your, you know, link building and those kinds of things. And, you know, for people just getting started, you can go ahead and go to WordTracker and use their free keyword tool, and I think it's just freekeywords.wordtracker.com. Let me double check, though.
That's something you could find right at the WordTracker.com site?
Yeah, it's freekeywords.wordtracker.com, and it'll give you a little box where you can put in your keyword. And so what you'll do is let's say, you know, that you're working in dog training, you'll go ahead and put in your main keyword phrase, which is like the overall top-level keyword that people might search for and be related to your product that you're selling. And you look at the search numbers that WordTracker gives you. And you want to try to find a keyword phrase that has, you know, if you're just getting started, I like to find something that has at least 100 searches a day. And then that way you know that once you rank for that term, you'll actually get some traffic from it, because it doesn't do you any good to rank for a term that doesn't have any traffic going to it. So WordTracker will give you the traffic counts. And then you need to go into Google and figure out if those keyword phrases are actually good ones, and if you can rank for them. Now, dog training is a really bad example because it's a really competitive market, so I'm probably not going to find anything right off the top of my head that's easy to rank for. But to give you an example, if I put in dog training in Google, let's see what we get. And if you guys are following along when you listen to this call, the results might be a little bit different because the internet changes all the time. But right now, if I put in dog training, no quotes, in Google, it's giving me 1,530,000 results. So that's like huge competition, and that's not a phrase that you really want to optimize for. So you need to drill down a little bit farther. So like we were talking about, try Doberman dog training. And let's put that in and see what we get.
I'm kind of following along with you, so listeners might actually hear some keyboard work going on in the background.
Okay, so Doberman dog training has 741,000 competing results in Google. Again, that's like huge. That's a really competitive market, and it's not something that I would enter right off the bat, because I like things to be easy at first, personally.
Absolutely. I agree.
So, you know, if you were looking in WordTracker, you'd be seeing, you know, potential other keyword phrases that we could use. So let's just look at how to train a Doberman, staying on theme.
So does it start to get a little bit easier when you go with a phrase versus a few keywords? Like,
yeah, absolutely. You want to go, you know, generally one-word key phrases are no good, not only because they're so competitive, but also because they're not buying words. You know, if somebody looks up dogs, you could be selling dog collars, you could be selling dog training, you could be selling, you know, dog health information, and somebody who just puts in dogs is so general, they don't really know what they're looking for, and most likely whatever you have to offer isn't what they're looking for because it's just too general. So, you know, you want to find key phrases that have multiple keywords in them because, you know, those are easier to optimize for, and also because those people know what they're looking for. Okay, how to train a Doberman ended up with, like, another 750,000. Now, if we go how to train a Doberman Pinscher, P-I-N-S.
I think it's S-C-H-E-R.
Yeah, there we go.
We could ask my Doberman puppy. She's sleeping downstairs.
Now, this keyword phrase comes up with 63,000 competing results. That's what we're looking for. That's a key phrase that you can optimize for, and that's a key phrase that you can actually, you know, get some rank for fairly quickly and see some results with. What I try to do, like I said, is at least 100 keyword searches a day in WordTracker, and then less than 100,000 competing results in Google. And this is, again, you know, where you start off from, and then once you rank for that, then you can go for more competing phrases. But there's a guideline for you.
So we could call that the rule of 100. You want to have,
yeah,
more than 100 on WordTracker and less than 100,000 on Google.
Exactly. And then in Google, if you put in that same keyword phrase inside quotes, it's going to have a whole lot less results. Okay, that's only 7.
What do the quotes do exactly?
The quotes look outside of, with no quotes, it's looking for just those words on a page, and those words don't have to be next to each other.
Ah, I see.
And if you put it in quotes, then it's looking for those words all together in a row. So the keyword phrase that we're looking at right now is how to train a Doberman Pinscher. And with quotes, that has 7 results. So that means there's only 7 other web pages that Google has found that have those words in a row like that, how to train a Doberman Pinscher. So
do a lot of consumers search that way using the quotes when they're looking for something very specific? I would imagine that that'd be consumers who are a little more tech savvy would do something like that.
Most don't, but looking at it like this gives you an idea of how competitive the niche really is, because looking back, we saw that there were 63,000 results, I think it was, outside of quotes, and that means that there's 63,000 pages that have those words on the page somewhere. Now, looking at it with quotes, we see that there's 7 pages that actually have those words together. So if you have your words, in this case, if you have the words together on a page, you're going to rank on the first page of Google inside of quotes because there's only 7 results. And then you'll also be able to very, very, very quickly rank outside of quotes, which is how most people search, because all of those 63,000 pages aren't actually optimized for that term. And when you put those key phrases on your page and put them in order, just like, you know, the key phrases, how to train a Doberman Pinscher, you'll rank very, very quickly for it because nobody else is actually optimized for that except for these 7 other sites, which is insane. Nobody.
No. Once you do some keyword research and you find some terms that apply to your niche or your market, what's the next step, I mean, as far as implementing those keywords into your SEO campaign?
Okay, the next step then is to go ahead and you want to work on your on-page optimization. And that means that you take your sales page or your, you know, the front page of your website and any other pages that you might have on your site, and you add those keywords to them in a way so that the search engines know that that's what your site is about, and they notice some traffic to your page for those keywords. So the number one thing is your title tag, and that's what shows up in the very, very, very top of your, like, Mozilla Internet Explorer bar, and it'll give, like, the title for the site. And a lot of times, you know, if you have a dog training book, you know, and you name it something cutesy, a lot of people use, like, the name of their product for their title tag. I don't recommend that. Instead, I recommend that you put your keyword phrase up there. And that's just a way of signaling to the search engines that what you are, what your site is about, and that it's about your keyword phrase. Also, when your title tag has your keyword phrase in it, when people do run a search on Google for your keyword phrase, your site title will then be in bold. And it makes it stand out a little bit more. So it's good for humans, too, because they go, oh, look, that's they notice immediately that your site is about exactly what they search for, and they're more likely to click it. So you want to put your keyword phrase in your title tag. And then if you want to put, like, the name of your product or something after it, I would recommend, you know, doing, like, a dash and then your product name. And back in the day, you know, you may have heard about keyword stuffing and just adding like tons of keywords into your title tag. That's not a good idea anymore. So just pick one, maybe two, if you're really like tossed up between two keyword phrases, but don't go farther than that in your title tag. And then you need to fill in your meta keywords. And that's in between the head sections on your site. And, you know, if you're using Dreamweaver, or, you know, whatever you're using to build sites, you know, they have options to add them. And it says, you know, add tags, and you want to add meta tags, and then you pick keywords. And then you fill in the keywords that you want. In keywords here, you obviously want to put your main keyword phrase that you picked. And then you'll want to pick, you know, maybe 4 to 6 other keyword phrases that are related and close to your main keyword phrase. And again, that's just signaling to the search engines, okay, that's what this site is about. And they're able to read that tag, and you know, and then rank you appropriately based on the fact that, you know, you are about these particular things.
Now, when you're doing your keyword research with a tool such as like the one you mentioned at WordTracker,
mm-hmm.
will they give you additional suggestions for other keywords or related keyword phrases you can also incorporate?
In the WordTracker free keyword tool, they'll give you, like, if you just search for dog training, they'll give you, you know, the top 100 searches for dog training. So you'll get, you know, Doberman Pinscher dog training, Boxer dog training, you know, all in your results, all different related keyword phrases. But they're not going to give you things that that don't incorporate those words that you initially put in. In this case, it was dog training. So they wouldn't give you results that say, like, canine training.
I see.
Because that's a different word. So you kind of have to, if you're using the free keyword tool from WordTracker, which is a great tool, I use it all the time because it's way fast, you know, but you kind of have to think outside the box, you know, if you want to look at what they call lateral key phrases, which are key phrases that are related but don't contain the same words. So, like, it might be dog obedience. That's another one that's related, but it's not the exact same words as dog training.
Absolutely.
And those are good. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you might even want to check, like, I know thesaurus.com, you can find, like, synonyms pretty easy on there, so that would give you a couple different avenues to work your way down as far as finding, you know, other keywords, alternate meanings for the same keyword to give
exactly.
you additional lists.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And that'll give you more when you're doing your initial keyword phrase, too. Like, you might put in a keyword phrase that you think's awesome and realize that it only gets, like, 4 searches a day, according to WordTracker. And WordTracker, by the way, their search counts aren't 100% accurate, but it's meant to give you some kind of a guideline to go off of. So if you see 4, it might actually get, you know, 80 a day. You never know, because, again, they're not entirely accurate. But it is a guideline, and it's, you know, where to start from. But yeah, you know, you might put in a keyword phrase that you think is awesome and then realize that it doesn't get, you know, diddly for searches every day. Or you might look in Google and realize that the competition is just insane and you're never going to rank for that, you know, until 5 years from now. So yeah, using something like thesaurus.com and finding, you know, related words and stuff so that you can play with that is a really good idea. Because it's all about just finding the right phrase.
I have very limited knowledge of SEO, but one thing that I've heard people talk about quite a bit when it comes to keywords is your keyword density. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, keyword density used to be a lot more important than it is now. Search engines like MSN actually still kind of do look at keyword density. And what it is basically is it looks at all of the words on your page. So let's say there's 100 words on your page, and then your keyword, let's say it was dogs, appears once on the page. That would give you a keyword density of 1% because one word out of 100 is your keyword phrase. And, you know, so if you had it twice on the page, that would be a 2% keyword density, and so on and so forth. So they just calculate the density of your keyword phrase on the page. And back in the day, a keyword density of, like, you know, 12% in MSN would totally get you ranked really well. And nowadays, the keyword density is more around, for MSN, it's more around, like, 6, 7, 8. But even that's, you know, it's fallen out of favor because, number one, Google doesn't like it. They've realized that if pages have, like, this high of a keyword density, that isn't really natural language because people don't speak like that. They don't say, how to train your Doberman Pinscher. I would like to tell you about my site about how to train your Doberman Pinscher. Today we're going to talk about how to train your Doberman Pinscher. It's saying the same thing over and over, and it's unnatural, you know?
Is that what they would call keyword spamming when someone makes – puts nonsensical information together just to kind of get their keyword in there over and over again?
Yeah, even if it makes sense, it's still, you know, keyword spamming. And that's, yeah, that's one example of what used to work, but doesn't anymore, you know. So now if you look in Google, the keyword density that seems to be preferred right about now is actually around 3%. So that's definitely not stuffing your page full of keywords. You know, that's just having it show
up.
Now,
where can you go to see that that's, you know, the current referred keyword density rate?
Actually, what I use is a plugin for Firefox, and let me get the name of it for you because it gives you all kinds of information.
I think I might use the same one.
SEOQuake is what I use.
Oh, no. Okay, I got to write that one down. Now, is that at SEOQuake.com?
Probably not. If you go to Mozilla.org, or .com. If you go to Mozilla's main site and then, you know, search add-ons and plugins and search for SEOQuake, or I think if you just do a Google for SEOQuake, you'll find it. But I don't think they're at SEOQuake.com.
That is a useful resource. I'm going to have to make note of that one.
And what it does is, you know, I'm on the page How to Train a Doberman Pinscher right now in Google. So I said show keyword density, and then it asked me enter the key phrase to match on. So I'm just going to put dogs just for good reference. And now it's telling me that the it appears 8 times in the title of the page. It appears 480 times in the body of the page, and it's giving me the percentage on each side too. So I know that, you know, it appears 1.3% in the body and so on and so forth. So you can kind of look at, this is a really good idea too. So if you're searching for, let's just go with plain old dog training, and then you want to go to the number one site in Google for your niche. And in this case, like I said, we're using dog training for an example. And I'm going to go to the number one site, and then I'm going to use SEOQuake to find the keyword density. You know what? I think my internet just, like, totally pooped out on me.
Oh, no. It's always at the worst time, too.
I know.
But we get the idea. The concept is to basically spy on the high-ranking sites, see what their density is like, and try to get something similar.
Yeah, so you see the number one site, and the number two site, and the number three site are all right in around, say, 3.5%, then you try to hit that yourself.
So that's how you get the mark, I see.
Yeah, because you know that they're doing well, so you just emulate what they're doing, you know? And that's actually, we got stuck on meta keywords, so let's finish up that. And then you want to put in your meta description also, which is in the head tag of your site. And the meta description is often what appears in the Google description of your site, so that your title will be in blue and linked, and then your description is down below in black and white. And you want to put something in there that contains your keyword phrase and also makes sense and is attractive to people, because that's what people read when they get search engine results. And, you know, if you tell them that you have what they're looking for, and they read it, and then hopefully they'll click on your site. So you put that in your meta description tag, and it needs to be human friendly. Again, you know, you do not keyword stuff that area. That's something that people used to do a while back, and is totally not what you want to do now. And then the other thing that's important for on page is putting your keyword phrase, again, in between H1 tags. Usually H1 tags are like your big headline on your site, but you can change the font and the color and all that so that they aren't, you know, if you want your headline to be something that's like more salesy and doesn't necessarily contain your keyword phrase, then you just change the font and the color of your H1 tag and make it, you know, like a smaller normal font, and then include it somewhere later on. The more towards the top of the page, the better. But, you know, again, if this is a site that's selling stuff, once you've got people on your page, you know, you do want to keep them engaged. You know, so try to find a way to put your keyword phrase in an H1 tag somewhere near the top of your page. You know, but don't do it in such a way that it looks spammy, or that, you know, it makes people want to leave the page because they just see how to train your Doberman Pinscher at the top, and it, you know, I mean, that's not a good headline for sales, you know.
Exactly. So you can do that, kind of control your H1 tag the way that you're using like a style sheet or something then?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. You just change the way that it appears, and then it will, you know, it can actually just look like the rest of the text on your site too, if you want it to.
Now, I've also heard that, like I said, I have very limited knowledge of SEO, so I'm not going to try to come off like I know what I'm talking about too much, but I've heard that Google actually has some sort of way where they take into account how well written your content actually is. So if you get kind of keyword spammy and it appears like you're just trying to use your keywords over and over, but the grammatical content is kind of a little bit off, do they actually have a way of penalizing you for that?
Well, Google does human reviews.
Oh,
and
okay.
Yeah, and yes, they absolutely penalize you if your content is gibberish, you know, or if it's just poor to read, or if it sometimes will even penalize you if it's a really poorly designed page. And I'm not talking just like, oh, they don't think that that's the best in Web 2.0 design. They don't penalize you on that. But, you know, if pictures are overlapping text so that you can't read it, you know, usability issues, they will absolutely penalize you on. And grammar is one of those things. You know, if your page is basically unreadable because it's, you know, some people use a technique called Markov to mix content together, and it ends up not making sense. So if you're using something like that, you know, to get a certain keyword density, yeah, they'll totally, on a manual review, you'll be gone.
Well, that's good for those of us who are hardworking and honest.
Yes. It makes it a lot easier because, you know, we know we just put in good content and we'll get good results, you know. And it's totally true. It's the, you know, content is king, and you know, if you don't have a base of decent content, then it's going to be a lot harder for you.
So now these are all on-page tips. What else aside from your keywords and stuff up in your head section that kind of goes on behind the scenes can you do to improve your SEO on-page?
On-page, you know, you want to have a site that, well, Flash is a big thing that sometimes people don't realize. The search engines can't read Flash, so if you're using, like, a video on your sales page, which is awesome for conversions, you still need to have some text on the page that tells people who, you know, maybe can't watch Flash videos, but also the search engines, what your page is about. So that's super important because video is so huge today, and video is incredible for sales conversions, but we still need to do some things to make it good for the search engines, and that's, you know, explaining what went on in your video or using some pictures. When you're using, say, like screenshots or pictures of things to, you know, jazz up your page a little bit, you want to make your image alt tag actually say what your picture is about. If there is an opportunity to put your keyword phrase in an image alt tag, you can do that, but you don't want to do it on like all the images on your page because Google, again, will see that you're trying to stuff your keyword in all over the place, and they'll penalize you for it. So it's actually the most helpful, you know, if you have a picture of a woman sitting with a dog, then you just want to call it woman sitting with dog because that's what it is. And, you know, it just gives Google, okay, so that's what that picture is about. And they know that, you know, people sitting with a dog is related to dog training, and it makes your site more complete in their eyes. And they see that. And it's also helpful for people who have accessibility problems.
So we want to pay attention to our image alt tags, which is just basically an attribute of your images, and you can edit that in right in the source code using your favorite HTML editor.
Exactly. And then on your page, you know, you want to scatter your keyword phrase a couple times throughout where it makes sense to. And like I said, you know, if you've looked at the number one sites in your niche, you can try to create a similar keyword density for your site based on how many times you put that keyword phrase on your page. And, you know, other than that, Google really likes to see nowadays, and this isn't so much SEO, it's just sort of like good practices in their minds, but they really like to see like a terms of service page and a privacy policy page and like a contact us page. So what most people do is link to those on the bottom of their site so that, you know, should Google come and take a look at your site and they see that you're selling something, they're also able to see that, you know, you've got a terms of service, you've got a contact us page, you look like a legitimate business, you're doing the right things, you know, and that's all that they purport to want is to have good sites in their index that are doing the right thing and providing good information for people.
So that kind of gets you brownie points with Google by having some of those pages right in your bottom, right maybe in your footer that kind of show your users that you're a legitimate website and you're running a legitimate business.
Exactly. So, yeah, I absolutely try to do that on a, particularly on sales pages, because, you know, they're not free content that people can just browse and read and get what they want and leave. You know, they're requiring people to kind of trust you. So it helps on the consumer end, too. You know, people do actually go and read those pages, surprisingly enough.
Okay, well, what else do we have to take into consideration? I mean, we've kind of covered keywords and some of the on-page tips, such as, like, using your alt tags on your images. And keyword density. Now you're kind of making it sound like it's too easy now.
You know, it's trial and error in that, you know, when you first get started and you hear all these things like, you know, alt tags and meta tags, it's confusing. But, you know, you put a couple sites up and it really isn't that hard for the on-page stuff. And then you've got to go into off-page. And off-page is where about 65% of your ranking comes from. So it's super duper important. And what off-page is basically building links from other sites that link to your site. And what that does in the search engine's eyes is they see all these other sites linking to you, and they go, oh, wow, you know, that must be a really good, important site, you know, because people don't link to something unless it's decent content for the most part. So it boosts your credibility, basically, in the eyes of the search engines, and then therefore boosts your ranking in Google. And what's even better than them just linking to your site, you know, some random page somewhere linking to you, is if they link to you with your keyword in the anchor text.
Now that would be the actual clickable text.
Yeah, rather than saying...
Site, should say your keywords in it.
Yeah, so like rather than being click here and having the here like linked in blue underlined, it would say click here for how to train a Doberman Pinscher, and the how to train a Doberman Pinscher would be the blue underlined word, and that would be the anchor text for that link. And so if Google sees a bunch of links for your site that use your chosen keyword phrase in that link as anchor text, they know that your site is about that particular keyword phrase, and then they'll give you huge boosts in your ranking for that. So what you want to do is basically just go out and get as many links to your site as possible, and as many of those links as you can get with your keyword phrase in them, you want to have them in them.
So especially now a site like the kind of site that we talk about at Pro From Go, where you're going to be selling a digital product, we cover the types of resources you should provide your affiliates with. So anytime you want to give an affiliate a text-based link to put on their page, you're saying we should definitely have it set up so that they can kind of copy and paste that link onto their page and already have the anchor text set up with our keywords in it for them.
Yes, absolutely.
It kind of takes the guesswork out of everything for the affiliates and helps you boost your SEO rankings a bit, I would guess.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, and then you've got to go out. One of the things that you can do with SEO Quake, that Firefox extension that we talked about, is it'll actually tell you how many other sites are linking to, say, you know, the number one site in Google for dog training. You go to that site, you look in SEO Quake, and it'll tell you how many inbound links that site has. And that's how many other pages are linking to it. And so you can look and you can say, okay, well, you know, that site has 400 links, so that means I've got to get 400 links. And then, you know, I'm playing on the same playing field as them. So it's another way to check your competition.
So that sounds like a lot to get 400 links and coming into your site.
You know, 400 links is 400 links is nothing actually. It's when you start getting into the hundreds of thousands that you've got a real big challenge.
Wow.
But yeah. But you
I remember on Alexa, they actually, I couldn't find it earlier today. I was kind of goofing around on Alexa. I used to always go there. I even had a little Alexa toolbar as an extension on my Firefox browser. So when I went to a site, I could see their Alexa traffic rankings and know, you know, whether or not people are actually visiting this often. And I know they used to have, right on Alexa, you could check their incoming links and see who's linking to people. And I kind of thought that would be a good way to see, you know, who's already linking to this site, which is similar to mine, and then maybe go contact them to see about getting them to link to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the pillars of link building is finding who's linking to your competitors and then going to them and seeing if you can get a link from them too. However, the links that are going to show up in Alexa and the links that are going to show up in Google and the links that are going to show up in MSN aren't terribly accurate. Google only likes to show like 10% of the links that a site has. So if you do an SEO quake, look for inbound links from Google, they're going to be really low numbers, and you'll be like, oh, that's easy. But in reality, Google knows about, you know, thousands of other links that a site may have, and they just don't publish that information. So
but
what you
SEO
actually
quake will tell you about it?
No, you have to. Oh. Well, SEO quake, you know, it just pulls the information from Google or MSN or Yahoo, you know, what they each keep in their database. So the one that you actually want to pay attention to is Yahoo. Yahoo gives you the most amount of links that a site has. And even they don't reveal everything that they keep in their database for a site, but it's the closest that you're going to get. So what you do is use SEO Quake, check the incoming links for a site in Yahoo, and it'll give you the big list of them, and then, you know, you go out there and you try to get links from the same sites. And again, you can look at it for competition values as well. But
so
you know, like
SEO Quake is telling you that you have, you know, 200 or 300 inbound links on your competition's website. In reality, they probably have a lot more than 200 to 300.
Well, if you're looking at SEO Quake, will give it to you per search engine. So yeah, so it'll tell you the inbound links from Google. Say there's 200. And it'll tell you the inbound links from MSN might be like MSN's lame, so they might show like 100. And then Yahoo, it'll give you the inbound links from Yahoo, and that might show, you know, 7,000.
Oh, that's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference between the two. You know, I've got like one site that shows 3 links in, you know, in Google, and in Yahoo it's got like 27,000. It's ridiculous. Google just doesn't like to show stuff. So,
they're so sneaky.
They are. They try to keep everything to themselves. But what you do, you know, in looking at these numbers, you know, you might get kind of overwhelmed because you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to build 400 links, let alone 4,000 links? Think about it this way. If there's a blog out there that you can get a link from, say a site-wide link in their sidebar or something, most blogs have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages because not only do they have a page for each post that they've written, there's also category pages and there's tag pages and there's all the archive pages. So that link, if it's a site-wide link in the sidebar or the footer or something like that, is going to show up all over this blog in all of its many pages that it has and many ways for people to search and look for information on it. So, you know, getting like 400 links from a blog is like, it's a snap, you know, as long as you can get the webmaster to agree.
So one link in someone else's, like, say their blog roll, for example, since that link will appear on every page of that blog, that actually counts as more than one link?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. So that makes it sound a little bit more manageable.
Yeah. However, you know, if you're looking at, say the site that you're competing with that's number one has, say, 5,000 incoming links, and you happen to have a friend who has a blog that, you know, he's been writing for, you know, 20 years or something insane like that, and so you know his site has that many pages at least, you get him to put a link on it, and then, you know, you're going to have, you know, 5,000 links at least. It's not quite the same because, you know, the other site that you're competing with, those 5,000 links are most likely coming from a bunch of different sites. So it gets more credibility in the eyes of the search engines, again, because they see, okay, there's, you know, of those 5,000 sites, you know, 4,000 of them are actually different sites, or 2,000 of them are individual sites, you know, and they see that, you know, all of these different places are linking, whereas your site has a bunch of pages linking to it, but it happens to only be from one site. So your site in that case would not rank as well as the number one site.
Wow. Now, as far as off-page optimization goes, aside from link building and getting backlinks, is there any other considerations we should consider?
No. It's really about link building.
So it seems like 65% of SEO, or somewhere in that neighborhood, is dependent upon how many backlinks you can get to your site.
Exactly.
So I guess that's where marketing really comes into play, because when you start networking and marketing with other webmasters like that, you're what we would call a grassroots internet marketer.
Yeah. And, you know, what you want to do is yeah, you contact other webmasters and you do, you know, will you put a link on your site, you know, or you give them an incentive to do so. Like, you know, if you're selling a product, And, you know, you can offer people like a free report, you know, or something like that that kind of gets them into your sales funnel. You know, a lot of sites are looking for content and are looking for good things to give their visitors. So you tell them, hey, link here, you know, and people can get a free report on whatever, you know, and they'll do it. So, you know, that's one way to build links. And then, you know, you can also do things like posting on forums and having your link in your signature line, or, you know, posting on blogs throughout the internet and leaving comments and, you know, linking to your site in the comment form and stuff like that. And, you know, one of the things, you know, in social networking websites, there's always a place for your URL. So, you know, you always want to put your URL in there, and if they allow it, with your anchor text. And just, you know, any place where you see, like, a thing where you can submit your URL, put it in there, you know, because that's going to be another link for you.
Okay. Now, a lot of the types of sites that we'll be showing people how to work with using our Pro From Go approach,
mm-hmm.
They're going to want their links. Well, I guess what I should say is another incentive they could give their link-building partners to add the link to their site would be to add it as an affiliate link, so that way, you know, the webmaster will get a commission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will that affect the amount of consideration a search engine will give your site or give that specific backlink if it's an affiliate link versus a regular link?
No, most affiliate links are 301 redirects. And that's a search engine, you know, gobbledygook term that means that, you know, this page has moved. So it'll be like, you know, yourdomain.com/affiliate ID equals and then somebody's affiliate ID. And, you know, or it might be if you're using ClickBank, you know, it'll be blah, 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 .hop.clickbank.net. And most of the time, those affiliate links are 301 redirects. And that means that when you click on that link, the affiliate link, it's going to go to that server and say, okay, where is this page? And the server will say, oh, no, that page has moved. It's actually over here now. And then it'll give, like, your home page. So the person ends up on your home page, and it's, like I said, it's called a 301 redirect. It's saying that it's permanently moved to this new position. So you, in this case, most of the time your home page will get the credit for that link because it's saying, oh, it's permanently at this other site now. And the search engines will see that and say, okay, it's permanently moved over there, so that gets the credit for that.
I see. So it doesn't necessarily matter the exact URL. What really matters is the end point or destination.
Yeah, most of the time. And sometimes they do weird, like, JavaScript, you know, and that won't give you credit. But most of the affiliate programs out there, most of the way that they work is with 301 redirects, and you do end up basically getting credit for that link in the end. So your affiliates are out there building links for you, too, you know.
Hmm. What else do we need to keep in mind? I mean, seems like we've covered the main elements of a good SEO campaign. Is there anything else you can throw in there?
You know, basically, it's a numbers game, and it's looking at your competition and then just trying to beat them. And, you know, I know that might sound simplistic, but it really is. You know, it's they've got 400 links. I need to go get 400 links. How am I going to do that? Am I going to do blog comments? Am I going to do forum posting? Am I going to do, you know, article marketing is another one. And then you set out and you do it, and it's as simple as that. And, you know, depending on how competitive your keyword phrase is and stuff, you know, it might take you, you know, a week to see results. It might take you a few months, you know, but you just want to keep checking and seeing where your site is ranking and how many links you've got, and just keep building.
You talked about a couple free resources we can use. One was wordtracker.com. Another one
mm-hmm.
was the SEO Quake toolbar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an extension. Is there anything else out there that you rely heavily upon to kind of keep abreast of the changes in SEO and get some other ideas of, you know, what we should be doing?
For free stuff?
We'll talk about free, and then we'll kind of get into what else you can get, other things you can pursue.
I'm trying to think.
Like, I know one that I've heard referenced quite a few times is SEO Book.
Yeah, that's
a good
site.
I know he has, like, an expensive e-book you can buy, but he also has some great free resources that I've kind of tinkered with.
Yeah, I'm trying to see his site is absolutely good, and if you want to learn more about this stuff, it's a gold mine, so totally check that out. Let me see. I'm not seeing anything else in my bookmarks that I actually regularly check for SEO stuff.
Well, why don't you tell us about your solution that you offer as far as, I know you have a backlink building toolkit for the most part that teaches people how they can get some links to their site.
Yeah, I've got actually two things that people might enjoy, and one of them is a free download, and it's called Social Media Daily. It's at socialmediadaily.com, and it teaches people how to use social media sites to get free backlinks, and it's kind of like, I'm pretty tell it like it is, and let's just get to work. So it's more like a checklist format, and it just says, go here, put your link in here, go here, put your link in here. So if you have no idea where to start link building, and where are you out there, you can put your links. This is a good resource. But you'll be working by hand, and it can be tedious. But it's the best social media link building guide out there by far, and it's free. And
that's at
socialmediadaily.com. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, if you want a quicker solution, basically, and a way to build, hundreds of backlinks at a time, I offer a training materials at 30minutebacklinks.com, and this teaches you how to use the power of software directories like CNET and download.com and stuff like that to build software, and you don't have to be a programmer or anything, because Lord knows I'm not. And you build software with some resources that I point out to you in the program, and then you submit that software to software directories through this automated submission process that they've created. Actually, it was like in 2000, the whole shareware industry created this process. It allows you to submit your sites your software very, very quickly to all the software directories. The software directories then go ahead and link back to your site. So it builds a ton of backlinks for you in that manner. And because it's a standard that's been around for like 8 years, you can build up like 500 links overnight, which normally would be a problem in Google's eyes because they don't like to see link building happen way too fast. But in this case, because it's an industry standard, the sites get ranked very, very quickly, and all those links end up counting, and so it works really well.
Huh. And that's your site, which is at 30minutebacklinks.com, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It seems like we kind of blazed right through the topic of search engine optimization. I was a little jittery about this interview because it's something I'm not real familiar with, but you made it sound a lot simpler than I expected it to be.
That's good.
Is there anything else you can kind of, any parting words of wisdom you can leave us with when it comes to SEO?
No matter how much you want to, a lot of times, you'll hear about keyword stuffing or other, sort of black hat techniques and stuff, and don't fool with them until you really, really, really know what you're doing, because you will get your site delisted, and then you have to buy a whole new domain and start over again. So, I don't want to put, like, the fear of God in people because, in the end, it's just buying a new domain, but it's a lot of work and it's a pain in the butt. So just stick to the standards, Look at SEO Quake, tell you what it says about keyword density. Try not to, blow past that. If it's at 3% for the top sites, don't go in with 12%. That's dumb, And just try to provide good content and try to, be honest that this is what your site's about and this is what people can find out there, and, the search engines will follow.
Michelle, thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. I really appreciate it. I know we got some great content that our members at Pro From Go are going to love to listen to. Hopefully they get this stuff downloaded to their iPods and saved on their computers, and they check out some of the resources you mentioned, because I know as soon as I get off the phone here, I'm headed right over to the Mozilla site to get that SEO Quake extension, because it sounds pretty neat. And I'm also definitely going to be your next customer to sign up for 30-minute backlinks, because who couldn't use 400 or 500 new links overnight?
Yeah.
Thanks again, and I hope to speak with you soon.
All right. Thanks, Chris. It was a blast.